Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure. The Hulu original reality series follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious half-baked employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. If you've never been to a dispensary before, it's a very surreal experience. I used to live next to one for a while. And let me tell you, they're a magnet for very strange people and strange interactions. I'm surprised a show hasn't been made about this before, but now there finally is one. So you'll fall in love with these quirky characters as they pursue their career ambitions, love, and fame. All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Otherworld. I'm your host, Jack Wagner. Today's episode comes from a woman named Jane, and it takes place when she was on vacation with her husband in Montana. When she first sent this story in, I read it and I thought it was interesting, kind of a classic ghost story, so we set up an interview. But then at the last minute, she backed out. She told me she changed her mind and didn't want to be on the show anymore. I asked her why, and she told me basically that she was still scared of the whole thing and was hesitant to talk about it again, let alone talk about it in public. That's perfectly understandable, but unfortunately for Jane, that only made me want to hear the story even more. So I decided to email her a couple months later in case she changed her mind, and I sent her a couple paragraphs trying to talk her into it, and it worked, and she ended up agreeing to do it. Jane's story takes place while she's on vacation, and she ends up staying at a hotel that she learns is haunted. It's really the most classic setup for a ghost sighting. But Jane did not take this seriously. In fact, she kind of treated it as a joke. She did not believe in the paranormal, didn't take it seriously, and was in the middle of a really fun vacation. I think she thought this would just be something funny to laugh about. But she ended up experiencing something that was not so funny to her. In fact, it still scares her to this day. So, let's get this episode started. This is episode 72. The title is Room 349, and you're listening to Otherworld.
Hello?
Is this Bobby?
Yes, it is.
At its core, the science you can't argue with.
A story about
all of a sudden
up in the sky.
It's almost frustrating that it's happening.
I'm gonna die.
Limbs were just like wrong.
He was just there.
Everybody moves back into the light, even if it takes them a minute.
So to start with, my name is Jane. I'm in my 40s. I live in Central California, born in San Diego, but mostly raised in Santa Cruz, California. Right out of my 20s, I worked as a paramedic on a 911 ambulance system for like 20 or 10 years. And then the last 10 years, I've worked as an ER nurse, which I currently still work as an ER nurse, and I work part-time as a forensic nurse for sexual assault. victims. So I feel like I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. I've seen, you know, plane crashes, crazy accidents, suicides, hangings. I'm not easily scared or spooked. I think when you're a paramedic, a lot of people don't realize that you get some information from dispatch and you walk into a house and you're walking into someone's environment. You're walking into their life. They're sharing, you know, personal information with you. It's one of those jobs where you just learn to kind of talk to anybody and just kind of go with the situation. And same with ER nursing. We really like step into someone's life, step into their problems, their energy. It's just one of those things you kind of do. So that's what I do for a living. I feel like I'm pretty logical in my day-to-day thinking. I'm college educated. You know, ER nurses, we live by evidence-based research. If you tell me this drug is good, I want to hear about this study and I want the random sample of people and I want, you know, evidence. Like, that's how we kind of live our lives. I grew up, my mom was raised Catholic, and then I have a grandma on the other side that's kind of like Buddhist. I was like baptized in the Catholic Church, but I'm not practicing by any means. I would kind of call myself more spiritual and one of those people that I don't think I know anything about anything. I think anybody that tells you they know everything about the afterlife or whatever you want to call it, that which is greater than us, I don't think any of us know for sure. So I've been open to stuff, but I never had any like real experience other than I've had patients tell me about like a near-death experience they had or, you know, seeing a loved one or that when their loved one was dying, you know, with like a hospice patient, the patient would say that they were like talking to someone that had already passed in the room. So I've sort of been open to those kind of experiences and you know, take it with a grain of salt because I haven't had one personally myself until this experience. So we have friends and two friends. I'm not going to name them because I think that, you know, if you've spent any time in like Idaho, Montana, they're very protective of their state and their way of life. A lot of them, my girlfriend grew up there, you know, hunting, fishing, living, you know, in a little cabin with her parents and just living off the land. No running water, no heat other than firewood that they, you know, they just have a very unique way of life. And so we would go visit them periodically over the last couple years. We would do skiing. We have a lot of family in Idaho. So we spent a lot of time in those areas. Fast forward, right before COVID shut down, I think it was like December 2020, we were just sort of hearing about COVID in China. And as ER nurses, like there was like a lot of high anxiety. We all kind of were thinking this is coming, right? Like we're going to have to deal with this. There was masks and like supply shortages and it was just high anxiety. And we knew that there probably would be a shutdown coming. And obviously as an ER nurse, I knew that would like really apply to me, you know, because they need staff. We need to be able to take care of our patients. And I kind of was like, oh God, it's coming. We were a little nervous. And they said, well, why don't you come out to Montana like over the new year and we'll do some skiing and, you know, maybe like cruise through Yellowstone, which is beautiful in the winter. All the bison are out and it'd just be a great little trip. So we decided to go see them and we had a great trip. We went skiing every day. We went out to restaurants. We just had a great, great time. Towards the end of the trip, my friend, she had brought up the idea of like, oh, let's go to this little hotel. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's small. There's like hot springs. Like if you drive through Idaho and Montana in the winter, you'll just see steam on the side of the road. There's like hot springs everywhere. It's super cool. You can just like pull over on the side of the road and jump in. And she said there's a hotel. They have like a great restaurant. It's like turn of the century, 1900. And she warned me it was really rustic. She's like, they're like one room. There's no bathrooms in the room. It's like $80 to stay the night, but we'll have dinner. It's just one night. Like you'll have to walk down the hall like to go to the, you know, go to the bathroom. And we were like, sure, for one night. We're on our way to the airport anyways. It's kind of like the in-between point. We stopped there, I think like afternoon time. We couldn't check in yet. There's like a saloon that's straight out of like 1900. All the architecture, everything looks old. Old wallpaper. And so we stopped in. We had like one drink. And then I think we went to check in. And I was a little tipsy. We were having a great time. Last day of vacation. I know I'm going home to COVID and working and no trips. And we're just having a good time. Had a drink or two. So we went to check in. And as we're checking in, you know, my girlfriend, she goes, oh, like some people say this hotel is haunted. And I'm like, so I asked the guy checking in, and I say, we're checking in. He's like, oh, there's young kids that work there. They're all in their 20s. And I asked the check-in clerk, I was asking him, you know, hey, is it haunted? I heard this place is haunted. And you could tell he was like, oh, God. He's like, actually, you can stay in the haunted room if you want to. It's open tonight. And I was like, sure, let's do it. I don't believe in that shit. Let's do it. My husband's like, sure, let's do it. It's just one night. Let's do it. So he laughs. He hands us over the key. And I've never seen anything personally. I didn't think that I would see anything. I just... And it was like, it was a weekday. So like there wasn't a ton of people at the hotel. I remember it was like a Tuesday or something. It wasn't a weekend where there's people everywhere. So I'm guessing that's probably why it was open. I mean, I'm sure there's people that go there that just want to stay in the room and probably see nothing. I don't know. We walk up the stairs and there's no elevators. It's old stairs. I think we walked up like two or three flights of stairs with dragging our suitcase. And we go down this long hallway, super old looking and like a super old key, like just to open the, just a doorknob lock. That's it. Flimsy door. We open it and I was literally like, oh my God, I'm so glad we're just staying one night here. It's small. There's no room for your suitcase. I mean, you have to step over your suitcase. Like just, there's maybe like a foot around the bed. There's like no room. And we were kind of laughing. Like this is the smallest room we've ever stayed in. Like, I'm glad it's for just one night and we're barely going to be in the room because we're going to go, you know, to the hot springs, go hike around, go to dinner. Like, and I kind of said to my husband, I'm like, oh my God, this place is like really small. And he was like, it's just a few hours. Like, don't worry about it. I didn't feel anything weird initially, nothing. We like basically changed, threw our stuff down and we're gone for most of the rest of the night. So we walked around in the evening, like kind of hung out. And then I think around like 10 or 11, we went to bed and we basically got in bed. My husband was laying to the right of me over by the door. I was laying here. Good night. Love you. Like kind of packed up our stuff because we knew we were going to like wake up early, have to get in the car and drive to the airport. And, you know, walked down the hall, used the restroom since there wasn't one in the bathroom and came back and went to bed. Fell asleep super quick. Didn't hear anything, nothing weird. I'm not even thinking about the place being haunted. We're just going to bed. We got to be up in a few hours. I had the greatest trip ever. We love Montana. We're looking at, you know, laying in bed before we go to sleep, looking at real estate. Like maybe we should buy like a vacation house here or, you know, come here more. Like it's the skiing and all, you know, that's kind of what's going through our head. Completely not thinking about anything to do with the hotel. And then we go to sleep. I remember kind of like dreaming and this is where I start to like have a hard time because I feel like people are going to think I'm crazy. I was like dreaming, but I wasn't. It was almost like I was in the room and I was like thinking to myself like, oh, I'm dreaming. And I had this moment where I was kind of like out of my body. I was dreaming, but I was awake, kind of. And I realized I was awake. I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming. And I was thinking, is this lucid dreaming? Like, I know I'm dreaming. And I'm like looking down and I can see my body, like laying in the bed with my husband. And I'm like, this is weird. I can like, I'm awake, but I'm like, this is so weird. And I'm gonna walk around. And the next thing I knew, I was kind of out in the courtyard. God, this sounds so fucking crazy. I'm out in the courtyard and I'm walking around and I can only describe it as like twilight right before the sun comes up. I know a lot of people aren't up super early, but like when you're a paramedic driving around in the middle of the night, like that twilight hour right before the sun comes out and it's like the quietest time. That's what it felt like to me. And there's like, it's like snow film, like it kind of staticky looking around. It looked like everything had like kind of slightly blurry edges, like if you're looking through a screen, you know, or you're looking through, and snow is not the right word because it wasn't like I could see chunks of snow. It was just like hazy, like lightly hazy, and like all the edges were kind of blurred. And I felt like more awake than I ever have. I don't know. I'm like, I know I'm dreaming. I'm like walking around in this courtyard. And if you go look at pictures of this place, that is what I was walking around in. And I felt like I was noticing things I didn't notice the day before. Like, I'm like, oh, wow, like the pillars and the grass. Like, I was just looking around. And I was thinking, like, wow, there's nobody around. And I had this feeling of, like, this is really weird. Like, I'm dreaming, but I know I'm dreaming. And I'm walking around. I can choose where I want to go. It was bizarre. And then I started to get scared all of a sudden. And I remember feeling like, this is weird. I want to, like, be back in my body. This is weird. I don't like this. And the next thing I knew, I was back in my hotel room. And I could see my body. And I was like, I remember all of a sudden feeling really scared. And I had this moment where I literally, I remember thinking, like, I'm in between worlds right now. Like, I'm in a different dimension or something. Everything is, like, snowy. And, like, my eyes were open, but I felt like I was seeing clearer than just through my eyes. I know it doesn't make sense. I start to freak out and I'm like, I want back in my body. I want to wake up. Like, this is weird. And I remember physically getting in the bed and, like, looking at myself and being like, I'm going to lay back in my body. Like, I'm going to lay back down on my body. I don't like this. And I remember, like, laying right on my body. For some reason, I just knew, like, I can lay back down on my body. Like, I want to wake up. I don't, whatever this is, I don't like this. And I remember laying back down on my body and having, like, a moment where I was, like, trying to wake myself up and I couldn't move. And that freaked me out even more, that I was like, wait, I'm back in my body, but I'm not back in my body. And I remember this, like, freak out moment. And this is where I think sometimes when I tell this story, my husband's kind of like, you're just dreaming. You're dreaming. And I'm like, well, I've had millions of dreams in my life. Nothing like this. This was completely different. I remember being in my body, and I remember, like, all of a sudden, and I could see my husband here, and he was very there, but filmy, like, kind of like snow. It just was, like, really, like, light snow and twilighty still. And it shouldn't have been, because it was pitch black in the middle of the night in Montana. Like, they don't even have streetlights there. We're in the middle of, like, a valley, super dark, but I can see, and I sense, I still don't know if I, like, heard something, felt something. I sensed something over to my right. And I remember looking over, and there was a lady there. If I could draw, if I was an artist, I could draw her. She was, she had no legs. It was, like, torso and up. She had her hands crossed like this. She had, like, you know, ruffles around the wrist, super long, almost like a flower print, like a very small print dress, like buttons all the way down. She had this high neckline. She had, like, this gold brooch right here. She was just kind of like a middle-aged woman. I would describe her as, like, 45, 50 maybe. A lot of gray hair, and it was kind of all loosely piled on top of her head, almost like a beehive, but, like, not as high. It was just, like, this old-fashioned style of hair up. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I literally had this moment of, like, is this fucking happening? Like, I see my husband, I see her, she's, like, probably a foot above him, kind of floating there, and she has no legs. And once I look at her, she puts her head down like this and closes her eyes. And in that moment, she, like, showed me, like, how sad she was. That's all I can explain it. It was, like, almost telepathic. Like, I felt like I just felt like her feeling of, like, despair and depression. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God, I've never felt or seen this kind of sadness before. I mean, I've had sad times in my life. I have had, you know, if I think of me at, like, my most depressed, like, after my friend committed suicide and I had, like, a really hard time, this was, like, 1,000 times worse. I can only think of it, this is, like, clinical depression. This is like somebody that is just sees nothing but despair. And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, like, I think I'm seeing a spirit. Like, this is a spirit. This is a ghost. Like, I felt her sadness. It felt like I kind of, like, stepped into her energy for a minute. And then I freaked out. And the next thing I know, I was sitting bolt up and right, upright in bed, screaming. And the room was pitch black. There was no weird film. I was yelling. My husband woke up. He, like, turned the light on. He thought we were getting, like, you know, robbed or killed. He's like, what's going on? Like, calm down. What's wrong? And I said, there was a lady. I saw this lady. he, of course, like was like, babe, it's okay. Like chalked it up to a dream. It's just a dream. It's a dream. It's just a dream. Like we're fine. He told me it's like 3 a.m. You got to go back to bed. Like we got to be up in a few hours. You're fine. And he like kind of turns over and puts his arm around me and I'm laying there and he's like, has his arm around me. And he's like, oh, you know, you're fine. You're safe. He immediately goes back to sleep. I did not sleep the rest of the night. I was wide awake, staring out the window, just laying there. I was shaking. My anxiety was off the charts. I was like, I knew it wasn't a dream what just happened. I was like, I just kept thinking like, I think I saw a ghost. Like, I think I saw this lady. Like, that wasn't a dream. I was spiraling in my mind. I had to like calm myself down. Like how I talk to patients, you're okay. You're safe. Take a deep breath, slow your breathing down, you're fine. Like literally like, I'm fine, I'm okay. The next morning, my husband goes off down the hall to shower. I'm like a little bit annoyed that he left me. He thinks I just had a bad dream. I haven't like told him the whole kind of thing yet. It's like a travel day and my husband's very like, travel, shower, we gotta get going. Like it's a travel day. And so he goes off to shower. I get dressed and go down the staircase and I'm like, I need like, some freaking coffee immediately. I'm like weirded out. I'm still like a little shaky and I just have like this, I don't have anxiety, but like I felt really anxious and I was trying to make sense of it. And I was literally thinking, I got to call my mom. She's the only person that I would tell this story that wouldn't think I'm nuts because she kind of believes in that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't call her at 6:00. So I walk down to the lobby and they have like free coffee and creamer. And I'm like trying to pour my coffee and like spilling it. I'm like kind of shaky. And there's like a young kid and at the check-in and he's kind of like watching me spill all over. And I'm like taking these little napkins and cleaning up the coffee. And I know my husband's still showering and I just don't want to go up to the room by myself. So I just sat down on the lobby in one of the couches and I was drinking my coffee. He said something to me like, are you okay? And I didn't elaborate. And he said, oh, did you see her? Because lots of people have seen her. Like, and he said something like gray beehive or gray bun. And I was like instantly, I was like, seriously? And he's like, oh yeah, we've seen her playing the piano. Like, here, let me give you this packet. And he hands me this white packet. And it has all, he's like, oh, these are all the accounts of people that have stayed here. Like, you know, you can email them in if you've seen something. Like they are, you know, the owners or whatever, they're curious. They like to hear the stories. And a lot of the cooks have seen her in the kitchen and multiple people all together have seen her playing at the piano. And then I really got freaked out at this point because I'm like, it's like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're sober, you're drinking coffee and you're like logically thinking about it. And I took the packet from him and I was like, I can't read this right now. Like I can only describe it as like kind of shell-shocked, especially that he also said gray-haired lady, like that was what I saw. And so I folded it up and we go to the airport and, you know, we get in the car. And so it's our four friends. We haven't seen them because we stayed in separate rooms and they were kind of joking. Like, did you see anything in the haunted room? Ha 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 ha. Like, how was your night? Did you sleep good? And I was just kind of silent. And, I could have like punched my husband. He said something like, well, I slept fine because it was a normal room for me, but she woke up screaming in the middle of the night, woke everybody up, probably on the whole floor. And I think I kind of chalked it up to them like, oh yeah, I had just a bad dream. Like, I mean, I remember looking at my husband being like, you fucker, like, be like, shh, you know, I just didn't want to like talk about it. And so we get to the airport and I mean, it's like 9 or 10 o'clock and I'm not a day drinker, but I was like, we get on the airplane and I was like, I want a Bloody Mary, like give me a Bloody Mary. I just felt like I needed a drink. I was like, I needed to like calm down. I was not feeling normal at all. I was super still anxious. And so I sat down and I had my drink and my husband, you know, promptly puts his ear pods in, watches a movie. And I started reading all the stories in the packet. And they kind of tell this story about a lady who had a family, and they believed that the hot springs had, you know, medicinal like properties. And so they opened up a little hotel, and people would come there for like their issues in the turn of the century, like mental illness or whatever issues. They thought you could like bathe in there and heal yourself. And there is a little bit of history on her if you look up this lady by name, and they talk about her having severe depression at the end of her life. And they talk about her driving, kind of going insane in this room and the room that where they still see her. They talk about having to remove a rocking chair that she sat in that would still rock. And some people have, like, workers have run out of the room screaming because they see her in this rocking chair still in that room. So I kind of read it all. And, you know, we came home and I wasn't even normal for like a week. I felt like I was really worried she was like going to follow me home. I was like, I got super paranoid in the house. I start like for the first week, I was just really like, I think the sequence of events of like seeing her and then like having the little guy that worked at the front say, oh, the gray-haired lady, which like validated to me that what I saw maybe wasn't a dream. And then giving me all the papers where people talk about her like mental illness and her depression and trying to cure herself with the hot springs and all this stuff, like validated that maybe I did see something, like truly see something, and it wasn't just a dream. And so I came home and I called my mom. I told her the whole story. And I told her, I was like, I feel like she's like on me or something. Like, I don't feel normal at home. I'm super anxious. I'm worried she's like following me home. And my mom was like, you know, I'm going to bring you some sage. You're going to burn sage all over the house. Whether you believe in it or not, you're just going to do it. And she's like, you need to like get rid of everything that like, get rid of those papers, get rid of her story. Like, you literally need to tell her, like, I know maybe you're earthbound, but like, I'm not your girl. Like, you need to move on, whatever that looks like for your spirit. And I was so scared. I did what my mom said. I burned sage, and we have a wood burning fireplace that we heat all winter long. And I threw the whole stack of papers in there. And after about a week, I started feeling normal. And I kind of told my husband like the short version, like this version I'm telling you, he's heard like a shorter version. And I don't even think like he'll want to listen to this, but I think he'll also he's not heard the full story.
Jane, I think I need to call this hotel. I'm very curious to hear what they have to say. Do you think they would talk to me?
You totally should. And you should ask them for the packet. I'm sure they'd give it to you. I wish I would have kept it. I was just so freaked out.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Folks, springtime is officially here, and the scents are in the air. And if I bring in some fresh flowers or orange blossoms that I stole from one of my neighbors, I want to be able to smell them, not the litter box. And now I can, thanks to Pretty Litter. Nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odors. It's ultra-absorbent, lightweight, low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. Pretty Litter's crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illnesses in my cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. Which brings me a lot of peace of mind because there's a lot of strange animals in my neighborhood. My cat Merlin likes to sit by our back door and interact with all of them. If he ever picks up something weird, I'll know right away because of Pretty Litter. I've tried multiple different litters before when I first got Merlin. So many of them get really clumpy or weird, and some of them even like stuck to him and he would drag it all over the house. It was terrible. Plus, they all smelled bad. Pretty Litter does none of those bad things, and it totally absorbs all the scents. We love it. I think you will too. You should give it a try. Get you and your cat some nice litter. Go to prettylitter.com/otherworld to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/otherworld. To save 20% on your first order. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Hey, Other World listeners. I'm excited to tell you about a show that I love and I think you're going to love as well. It's called Sophia with an F, starring Sophia Franklin. This show is about as different from Other World as a show could possibly be, which is why I think many people were very, very shocked when I got invited on as a guest around Halloween. It was really the crossover that nobody expected. I'll never forget the day my episode came out and every single one of my college-age cousins texted me all at the same time. Very confused, but also very excited. It was nice to hear from all of them, though, and finally get some respect. I had a great time on the show. Sophia is really down to earth, which is why I think her interviews are so good. We talked about Otherworld, the paranormal, getting into this whole thing unexpectedly, as I did, and a lot of other stuff that I think normally does not get discussed on Sophia with an F. Normally in the show, Sophia Franklin goes deep on sex, life, mental health, relationships, and everything in between. You could get Sophia all to yourself every Monday for solo mini episodes and every Thursday with her ride or die best friends, experts, and some famous guests on a host of other topics, topics that are not safe for the dinner table, from foursomes and sugar daddies to wild sexcapades and tips for keeping things fresh in the bedroom. It's raw and laugh out loud funny, no borders and no filters. My personal favorite is the episode with Waka Flocka Flame, if you want somewhere to start. Listen to and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Folks, springtime is here and it might be time to clean out the closet and finally update your wardrobe. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never got a style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the essentials for men and women, and everything is made from high-quality materials, which is very important to me. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes savings on to us. And like I mentioned, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I recently went on a little shopping spree myself. I got a chore jacket, a Mongolian cashmere cardigan, and a quilted jacket. Basically stuff that I could just throw on top of the normal old t-shirts that I wear every day to make myself look a lot more presentable and fashionable when I need to. I also got some new sheets for our bed. They have so many to choose from. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/otherworld for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/otherworld to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/otherworld.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I heard this story, I thought it was so interesting. I mean, I've heard a million stories of people seeing Old West ghosts in hotels, but this one was kind of unique. Jane describes experiencing what sounds like astral projection based on the description she gave, where she's walking around the hotel. It's a different season. The weather's different. And then after that ends, she's in her room and she sees this woman who turns out to be the owner of the hotel, something she did not know, nor had she ever seen this person before. And she also describes feeling extreme sadness and despair radiating from this person. I had so many questions, and I also wanted to find this packet that Jane threw out, and she told me she wanted to see it too. So I tried calling the place. I thought it would be simple, but they didn't answer the phone. I called the next day. They didn't answer again. I called again. No answer. I was calling a lot, like way too much. Nobody was answering the phone. I honestly started to think that maybe this hotel closed for some reason, but I did not give up. If I've learned one thing while making this show, it's that the most important part of investigating is being very persistent. In fact, maybe even borderline annoying, like slightly more annoying than you're normally comfortable being. So I started calling every single day for 2 weeks until finally somebody picked up the phone. After that, it was easy. They knew exactly what I was talking about with the packet. They emailed it to me. It was really interesting to get. I'll put a link to it in the description if you want to check it out. And it turns out that this packet is a photocopied section of a book called Big Sky Ghosts, Volume 2 by Deborah Munn. It talks a lot about the history of the hotel, the owner, Percy Knowles, and sightings that people have had in the hotel, sightings of Percy. There's been a lot of them, and they have a lot of common themes. I was also able to talk to an employee of the hotel for a little bit. She told me about the hotel's history and her experiences working there. The hotel, by the way, is called Chico Hot Springs, and it's located in a town called Prey, Montana, near Yellowstone. So, I was very excited to get the packet. It was really interesting learning all of this and hearing other people's accounts of seeing the same woman. And of course, it was interesting to speak to somebody that worked at this hotel. So here's a bit of my conversation on the phone with that employee. Her name is Adrian.
My name is Adrian Hinton. I've worked at Chico Hot Springs for 18 years, almost. It'll be 19 in June. The story of Percy Knowles is she and her husband had like a boarding house here at Chico Hot Springs many years ago. She didn't believe in alcohol or drinking or anything, and her husband was kind of the opposite. He was kind of a drinker and a partier and that kind of thing. But she was into health and fitness and the healing waters of the spring, so they ended up building a hospital here. Surgeries, all kinds of different things were done here way back when, out in the middle of the country. Like the first, I think one of the first lobotomies in Montana was done here at Chico Hot Springs many years ago. Percy and her husband and their son all lived here. It's a pretty cool story. They had gardens and just everything was focused around the warm waters of Chico Hot Springs. It was actually found before they had it, a miner named Chico actually found the original hot springs, and the miners and stuff would do their laundry here and that kind of thing before it was even a building. Percy lived here for quite a while, and then I don't remember the whole story, but she ended up going to the state mental hospital and passing away there. Ever since then, she's said to have haunted the Chico Hot Springs. I've basically just had interactions with who I think is probably Percy. One time, I had a new car that kind of looked like an old style Model A, but it wasn't. It was just a PT Cruiser, and I've worked at the front desk, the guest services area, most of the time that I've worked here, and I'm pretty sure as I got into my car one night, I felt a presence all the way home. I got into my house, started working in my kitchen. I heard a rattling in the cupboard that would not normally be there. And then all of a sudden, she was gone, or it was gone. There's another story where people smell roses or lavender or something in the hallway. And during the COVID time, I was one of the few employees that worked here. We just kind of ran a skeleton shift. And I was going down the hallway, and I was looking for one of my coworkers, and I actually did smell the smell of rose perfume or something, and there shouldn't have been that smell. So those are kind of my experiences that I've had. Yeah, people have had experiences up. It's room 346 up on the third floor. It's kind of, it's different in the fact that it's two separate rooms kind of set up as an apartment back in the 1890s or so. And that was Percy's room. And it was kind of creepy for a while because it actually had the antique wallpaper and it was kind of peeling off the wall. So it made it look really creepy. I think they've fixed that since, but people have felt her sit on the bed. They've had doors open that were locked, and I think they had a rocking chair up there, and it would rock back and forth, and there was a Bible that the pages would turn right by the chair and things like that. People have seen her, like a woman in a black dress or a woman in a white dress up on the third floor, or, you know, I'm not the only person that's seen her outside the windows of the grill. People have heard creaking noises, have seen things move without anybody touching them in the saloon, things like that. Her hair's pulled up in a bun. She has a long, you know, 1890s style dress. Not any specific look to her other than what a woman would have been wearing in that time period. One of the weirdest things I heard was that one person said that they saw ghosts of cats in what is now the dining room. So they haven't just seen human forms, they've seen animal forms, and I thought that was kind of weird. People have seen women or children in the hallways, apparitions kids in the hall or women in the hallway, and they'll come and say, are there ghosts here? Because we just saw something. I'm like, yep, there are. So, or they've been touched, somebody's touched their cheek, or they wake up with somebody standing over their bed, and then they wake, you know, then they look again and they're gone, things like that.
The woman I talked to had a pretty intense experience, and she said that when she saw this woman, she felt an incredible amount of sadness and despair.
You know, I think Percy probably, if it was Percy, probably would have been sad because her husband's not who she would, you know, he's a drunkard. He's a little more wild, not really believing in the stuff that she believes in. So she probably was lonely or in despair. For me, she was just really quiet and passive and kind of like looking at me, wondering about me, kind of wanted to be there around me, maybe for me. You know, because I was just working all by myself. And then, you know, she was always like, I felt like she was checking up on me, making sure I was okay. It feels pretty unique in the fact that you hear about other places and their ghosts and they're angry or they're mad or are upset or, but here they're just quiet and, like I said, passive and not really aggressive or anything. They just want you to know they're here and, watching you.
So Jane, how are you feeling after all of this? Are you still up for doing the episode? I know you're, you know.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, good.
I was hesitant to talk about it. Like initially when I submitted my story, it was almost like therapeutic to tell it. And I was almost like, as I was typing it out, I remember being like, oh my God, I don't know if I've ever like really told like in detail my experience. And because a little of it is hazy, it kind of helped me to like type it out and like think about it. And I honestly haven't thought about it a whole lot in the last couple years. It was like, you know, cause you just move on and life goes on. So I was hesitant to like bring it all up and like really talk about it. And there was also an element of being nervous about like putting it out there. Like my experience, I think once you put something out there, it's open for other people's judgments and They make assumptions about you. And, you know, I'm serious in my career. You know, my credibility is important in my career. And I think, you know, I deal with a lot of like very medical people and, you know, very sciencey, and that's it. And if you can't prove it, it doesn't exist. And, I kind of was that way for a long time. You know, bachelor's of science in nursing, you're learning, it's basically literally, you know, it's all about science and what you can prove and what you can quantify and qualify and evidence-based studies. And that's how you're learned to train, you're trained to think. And this experience was something I couldn't like put in that box. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to say like your truth. I think it's okay to speak your truth, even if some people don't agree with you or get it. It's not my business what people think of me, but this is an experience I had, and I think it's okay to share it and not expect other people to agree or accept it. Like, they don't have to. It's something that is like so ingrained in my memory and will be forever in the way that I know it wasn't just a dream.
All right. Thank you to Jane and also Adrian from Chico Hot Springs for speaking to me. If you want to read some of the stories from guests and employees of this hotel, I'm linking a copy of the PDF in the description of this episode. It's pretty wild to hear how many people have seen Percy. And it's also pretty wild how casual the employees are when they talk about seeing her. Believe it or not, I actually have zero interest in ghost hunting. In fact, I'd prefer to live a completely ghost-free life if possible. But when Jane was describing this hotel and the hot springs, I did kind of want to go. I could be willing to put aside the haunted aspect if it means a reasonably priced hotel and hot spring situation. Summer is coming up, so who knows? Maybe I'll be calling the hotel again in the near future. And with that, we've reached the end of this episode. This has been episode 72. The title is Room 349, and you've been listening to Otherworld. Otherworld is executive produced and hosted by myself, Jack Wagner. Our theme song is by Cobra Man. The soundtrack of this episode is by Juice Jackal and North Americans. This episode was edited and engineered by Theo Schaefer. Our artwork is by Cul-de-Sac Studios. Production help by Nikki Kate Delgado and Haley Pearson. Please show us your support by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, and telling your friends about the show. If you want to hear bonus episodes of Otherworld, you can become a patron at patreon.com/otherworld. We have a ton of good stuff up there. Our social media is at otherworldpod. That's our handle on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you to the team at Odyssey, JD Crowley, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Leah Reese-Dennis, Rob Morandi, Eric Donnelly, Matt Casey, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, and Hilary Schuff. Follow and listen to Otherworld now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, if you or somebody you know has experienced something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplained, you could send us your story at stories@otherworldpod.com. Please do send them in. We're always looking for more stories.